Hi everyone, thank you so much for coming. Really glad that you're all here. This class has been sponsored. Zecher Nishmas, Janice Bennett's mother, Chana Feiga Bas Yosef. You see the Rav is here, so we would like to
And for
peace.
your site is right now. It's tonight and
Oh, today. Tonight?
tonight and tomorrow, yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Janice.
Hey, good luck, ladies, and the neshama should have an aliyah, Dr. Bennett's mother. Should be Lila Nishmasa. So, ladies, we're up to the part that really the previous two shiurim was leading up to. And that is the actual Shemoneh Esrei, the actual Tefillah Amidah, that we are Zaycha, really, to have the opportunity to stand in front of the Eibishter, to stand in front of Hashem each and every day. The goal of what we want to accomplish, Bez Hashem, with the Rabbanu Shlom Siyata Deshmaya, is to allow us to have perhaps a greater appreciation of the opportunity that we're given, with maybe understanding some of the aspects. The first thing which I'd like to mention is that the words of the Shemoneh Esrei, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, they were actually formulated, and that they were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, which numbered 120, the most famous ones of the end of the era of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was Mordechai, Ezra HaSofer, to just name some of them. And they instituted the Shemoneh Esrei. And the Shemoneh Esrei is like an atomic weapon. We might not even know what we're handling, but the words have deep, deep kavanas. There is svarim, which is way beyond, the scope of just a regular, ordinary shiur on tefillah. There's a sefer called Tefillas Reikeach, in which the Reikeach was a very early source of this commentary on tefillah. Really allows us to see the soidis hatefillah. If Even without going to that sefer, opening up the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur Shulchan Aruch, which is different than the actual Mishnah Brura that you'd open, which is based on the Mechaber. But the Tur Shulchan Aruch gives us all sorts of incredible insights, the exact amount of the words and what the words are corresponding to. But that's not at all where we're going tonight. The purpose of tonight is just to take the sitter that we have in front of us and to be able to look at the words and perhaps some new understanding of the words that we say each and every single day. The first thing which is important to know is when we're about to stand Shemoneh Esrei, we're going into Shemoneh Esrei. Should there be any kavanas that we have? Should there be any thoughts that precede the Shemoneh Esrei? And there are two primary kavanas that a person is supposed to have. And as we said last week, the formula of our tefillahs being accepted and our tefillahs having its greatest potential of impact is really dependent on the level of our kavana, of our concentration in the Shemoneh Esrei. And if we're on that topic, even before we begin with, just understanding what should be our thoughts as we enter into Shemoneh Esrei, the Chofetz Chaim once said an incredible mashal, and I think it's a tremendous inspiration that we all have to be aware of and we all have to know, because we're regular, ordinary people davening, trying to do the best we can. Chofetz Chaim says there was once a person having a, he used to sell his apples from his apple cart, and some children that were not so kind-hearted wanted to play a trick on this old man with the apple cart. And they went under the apple cart and they got up, and all of a sudden the apples started to roll all over the place. And the person standing there, so upset and angry, waving his fists at the children. And meanwhile, the apples are rolling all over the place, and all the kids are going ahead and grabbing all the apples. And one smart person goes over to this person, the owner of the apple cart. He says, "One second, what are you standing there? Grab some apples for yourself." So the Chofetz Chaim says, "You know, when we daven in front of Hashem, we're davening 19 brachas. And many times, you know, our mind is filled with all sorts of thoughts, anxiety, to-do lists, and we get sidetracked. Our apple cart that we wanted to have full of apples all of a sudden starts rolling all over the place." Says the Holy Chofetz Chaim, "Don't get overwhelmed. Grab whatever apples you could grab." That means to say that even if you realize in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, whoa, where did those brachas go? They just became fleeting and they're running. And did I really say those brachas? Did I really understand what I was saying? Did I say the words with even the slightest bit of a kavana? You don't get overwhelmed. Don't get, as they say, nispoiled. Don't be impressed by that. Just continue and grab the rest of whatever is in front of you. And that's a very, I think, important practical piece of advice. The Baal Masil Sesharim says the following: when a person is about to begin Shemoneh Esrei, there's supposed to be three thoughts. And he says the following: that you're Oymid Lifnei HaMelech, you're standing in front of the Eibishter. So we're going to speak in a moment as we start the first bracha. You're standing in front of Hashem. The second kavana is that Godless HaBoyrei. Who are we standing in front of? We're standing in front of a melech. What type of a melech? What type of greatness does this king really represent? And the third kavana, the Ramchal says, is how limited we are. We're fleeting. We're limited. We have such a level of limitations, and compared to the Eibishter, his greatness. So we have to understand, and once we understand that, what that does, those three machshavas, says the Ramchal, creates a certain level of just humbleness, of really coming to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way we're supposed to, like a person coming to ask on his behalf, knowing that perhaps we don't have the merits or we don't have the currency to really ask. But we're coming and we're humbled and for the Eibishter, and that's the thoughts that's supposed to humble us. The Arizal writes that before we begin Shemoneh Esrei, and that's why Chazal made all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei in a plural form. We're supposed to have in mind the mitzvah of Ahavta Rachah Kamaicha. That even though there might be brachas that are not relevant to us, but we have an obligation. We have a connection. We're all intertwined. We're all, as they would say in Yiddish, geknipt and gebunden. We're all inextricably bound to one another. And that's the machshava. You have to be makabel on oneself. Mitzvahs, it's supposed to be just in your mind. V'ahavta l'riyacha kamaicha, we're standing in front of the Eibishter. So now, the words that were used as an introduction to the Shemoneh Esrei is the words of Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Ufi Agiti Losecha. We're standing in interesting, not Lifnei Adon, Ani Yoimid. You say the word Adnos, Adonai, with the Yud, sort of a possessive form, meaning Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm standing in front of my God. It's my relationship, because that's really what we're trying to accomplish when we daven. We're trying to accomplish to create a yachas, to create a relationship. So therefore, the words we understand, we might not be able to say the words as deep and as sufficient with kavana, the depth of the kavana, but we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, help us. As we said last week from the Bach, we want to daven with kavana. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you allow us, tochen libam takshav aznecha, prepare our hearts. You know why you should prepare our hearts? Because we want to daven. We are davening. We're opening up a siddur. Of course, when we open up a siddur, we want to be able to gain the maximum mileage from these minutes that we're davening to the Eibishter. So we ask a bunch of you prepare our hearts. You open up. Tiftach. Let me say your praise. And that's why that first bracha that we're about to start is such a crucial bracha. It's called Avos. And the Chafetz Chaim, and you see this in any art scroll sitter that you'll pick up, you'll see that at the beginning of every single bracha, there's a word. In the beginning of the first bracha, you'll see the word Avos. And the Chafetz Chaim explains that, and that's really the basis of why the authors of the art scroll sitter incorporated it in every single sitter. Before you begin, in order to be able to solicit the most the maximum kavana and the maximum focus to know what we're about to say in front of Hashem, one word, avos. We're about to say and utter the bracha of avos, and that's the same thing in all the brachas. In the next bracha, gvuros. We're speaking about the strength, the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the third bracha, the word that you'll see in your siddurim, in your art scroll siddurim, is Kedusha. Because that one word is supposed to say, okay, let's focus. It's a code word. Okay, one word that encapsulates, one word that incorporates the bracha that we're about to say. So it puts us into the right frame of mind. It allows us to be uber focused. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim writes, it's such an Eitzah Tova. It's such a practical and a good Eitzah to be able to aid you in being Mechavan to the Bracha. So therefore, that one word is a crucial word. It's literally a split second, and it could make all the difference in allowing us to use our faculties to be and our heart to be Mechavan. Now, before we go further, certainly in Shemoneh Esrei, this is an important klal. When we say Hashem's name, when we say the word Elikim, when we say the word Elikenu, is there any differences between these words, these shemes of Hashem? Certainly there is. In Siman Hey of Or HaChaim, over there, the Shulchan Aruch explains the two primary differences. When a person says the word like Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, when it's spelt Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so then the kavana that a person is supposed to have is only Adonis. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the master of all. He's Adon HaKol. Adon HaKol. That's what the word Adonis means. When you're saying Hashem's name in Yud Kei Vav Kei, so the primary kavana is also Adon HaKol. The Ribbono Shel Olam, you are the Adon HaKol. Now, it's not a simple task, and not all the time are you able to focus on that. But if a person allows himself the regilus to get used to it, so as soon as you say the word Hashem, but as you pronounce the words itself, because that's how it's pronounced with Adnos. It's not pronounced the way it's written. That's going to be loss of love, but it's pronounced the way that it's written in Adnos. The way that it's written, the oisis that it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, means hoy hoy ve-ve-ye, where there are differences of opinion if one should have that in mind. The Goyim, the Vilna Goyim says the primary kavana person is supposed to have is simple. When you utter Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei Adnos. That's what it means. Kriya Shema, in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, you should incorporate also, you should expand that kavana to Adnos and Hoya, Hoya Vaviyya, in the way that the Shem Hashem is actually written, the oisiyos of how it's written. Now, what is Elikim? Elikim is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a takif. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Almighty Hashem. That's what it means, Almighty, right? The word Almighty, where does that come from? It comes from Elikim. The Mefarshim, the commentaries explain that Elikim is almighty. He's the Midas Hadin. He's a Takif. He's the Bala Yecholis. He's able to accomplish everything. He's the Bala Koiches Kulam. He has the power. He has the ability and he has the power. Really, it sounds the same, but there might be different nuances. But that's how the Mefarshim understand Elikim. Now, to say that we're going to, every single time we say the word Elikim, that that's what we're going to have in mind, it's much easier, obviously, if you say the Shem Hashem. And the Shem Hashem is the primary word in every bracha. It's the primary word of every bracha. And it's a mitzvah to be able, when you say Hashem's name, to have the proper intention of what you're saying. But once you say the word and you pronounce it that way, automatically what comes up in your mind after you do it long, frequently enough, you'll know that it's the Rabban Shem Adonai HaKol. Elokeinu has one more aspect, says the commentary. In other words, it's the same as Elokim, that the Rabban Shem is the Takif, the Rabban Shem is the Almighty. The Rabban Shem has a power, has the ability to accomplish everything. The Rabban Shem has the strength, but there's one more nuance in Elokeinu, our God. And this has a terrific understanding of what we're davening. Elokeinu means that he is Mashkiach Aleinu B'tzmidus. You hear this, ladies? Elokeinu, he's our God. He cares about us. He's involved in our lives. He's engaged with us. And that's the word. Elokim is a general description of Hashem. But Elokeinu, you say Elokeinu, you know what you're saying? Ribbono shel Olam, you know what I need. You know what my to-do list includes. You know what I have to accomplish. You're Elokeinu. You're Mashkiach Aleinu B'tmidus. You watch over us. You care about us. Once a person says the word Elokeinu, and you know what that stands for, that it has that extra new, that extra dimension of saying Ribbono shel Olam, we recognize that you're really involved in our lives. You're Mashgiach Aleinu B'tzmidus. Now that we know the Kavanas Hashem, when we're going to say the Shem Hashem in the brachas, we know what we're asking the Ribbono shel Olam to help us. Be mechaven. We know that we're each bracha of the Shemayin Esrei that we're going to say, we're given a tremendous aid. One word allowing us to focus. So now we begin Avos. The bracha is called Avos, has two major unique parts to it. Number one, that originally the Zman of the Gemara, even though right now we don't follow this halacha, that if a person would have kavanah in 18 of the 19 brachas of Shemayin Esrei, and you don't have kavanah, you don't know the words, you don't know the pirush hamilim of what you're saying in the first bracha, all the other brachas, you did not fulfill your obligation of Shemayin Esrei. Kavanah in Birchas Avos is ma'akiv. That's what the Gemara says. But the Mishnah Berurah paskens already that since saying it over again won't guarantee you, because our mind is so limited, that guarantee that you can have kavanah, so we don't say it a second time. But nevertheless, you got to give it your all. And as we're going to right now go through the bracha, we're going to go through it in a very, just steady way at a quicker type of a pace, because we want to be able to cover as much ground tonight in the shiur as possible. Why do we bow? There are four places that we bow, in the beginning and at the end of Birchas Avos. And the reason why we do that is because this Birchas Avos has, it contains a summary of all the praises of Hashem, the all-encompassing powers of Hashem, and recognizing that Hashem is unique. It has so many facets to it. Just look at the translation of the words. So therefore, We show our recognition, our humbleness. We show how great that the Eibishter is, because there's so many praises. It's so much recognizing the power of Hashem. Hakel Agodas, we're going to translate momentarily. So therefore, we bow at the beginning of the bracha, at the end of the bracha. The unique part of the Birchas Avos is so unique. The fact that it's the only bracha that begins with Baruch and ends with Baruch. That itself is indicative of the incredible importance. And it's the beginning. It sets the pace of the entire davening, of the entire 19 brachas that we're going to say. The Birchas Avos sets that pace. And that's why Chazal instituted that you should bow in the beginning of the bracha when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, and the end of the bracha when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram. And an additional reason is because the Avos are our Haskalah. They're the ones that began our illustrious journey to become a nation. So that's the importance. That's the importance on the two aspects of the Avos. Number one, why the Kavan in Avos is so crucial. And number two, why we bow at the beginning of the bracha, at the end of the bracha. And in saying the words we said about Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, now each of the Avos are mentioned separately because each of the Avos stand alone as being an amud, as being a pillar of schusim for us. Now, there are several adjectives that follow. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibar, Vanoira, Kelelyon. They're all different. And just to give us a summary, Hakel means the Rabban Shem is a takif, the Rabban Shem is the strong one, but Hagodol, I want to focus for a moment on Hagodol. What is greatness? You know what we say, Rabban Shem, you know why your greatness? Because you chesed kael kol yom. The Rabban Shem is busy doing chesed. He's busy being goymel chesed to the entire humanity. That defines greatness. You know what? A person is a great person when he carries the responsibility of other people. It's a tremendous message. We refer to the Rabban Shem as the Gadol. The Rabban Shem is the Gadol. It's because that's what he's busy with. He's the Gibor. We should have no fear. The Rabban Shlom is the one that has strength. He controls things, meaning that if we are afraid, we have a day, we have a crisis in our life that somebody we feel is in control of us and we're fearful of what that person will do. You know what you should think of? The Rabban Shlom, you're the only one, you're the Hagibar, you're the ultimate, you're the only one that's in charge. And do I have to fear another person? Hanoira, the Rabban Shalom is awesome. The Rabban Shalom is the only one that we should be fearful of. Davening Shemoneh Esrei should infuse us intravenously with so much betochen and emunah. Of course, the goal is to be Hashem Sifas, like my God, it's a relationship. It's a moment to connect to the Eibishter with one's focus, to feel privileged. Not to, some people say, I spoke today in shul at a bar mitzvah, and I said that there are two words that, and I believe I said this during the past two, one of the shiurim. There are two words that have the same amount of letters, but they're worlds apart. And one word is have, and one word is want. What do we do when we step into davening today, Bishta? Is it because I listen what we say it? I have to go daven. Now, even though we don't really focus on what it means, we have to go daven. But you know what it means? I'm obligated to go daven. When a person says, I want to go daven, I want to go daven, meaning that the davening is viewed as an opportunity. Davening is a vehicle on how we could come closer to Eibishter. Oh, if a person would know the gift, the opportunity, the golden gift of tefillah, There would be no talking and davening. There would be no cell phones taking out. There would be nothing. There'd be only you and the Eibishter. Knowing that the opportunity is, it's because when a person feels he has to, I have to daven, it's a coercion. I want to daven is the healthiest attitude, filling a person's mind and heart with the want to davening. And when we daven, we have betochen, the Rabbanu Shem, who are we davening to? Hakel, he's the Almighty. He has the strength. Hagibor, who are we davening to? We're davening to the Eibishter. He's busy doing chesed. He could do chesed for us. He's the Gibor. I don't have to fear anybody. I don't have to be fearful. The Rabbanu Shem's the only one in control. And he's Kel Elyon. He's above every, and there's nothing else that's above him. He's goy mil chasodim tovim. You know, sometimes we do a favor to a person and it doesn't come out the right way. It's a favor to one person and it's hurtful to another person. The Rabbanu Shem is the ultimate. He's the goy mil chasodim tovim. The Rabbanu Shem's chesed is all encompassing and complete chesed. Now, the next few words are very important. And he's a koinei hakol, the same aspect. You could see yourself the definition of these terminologies. I don't want to linger on things which you could see yourself. Listen to the insight of these words that we say each and every day. There's something called Schus Avos. I want to share with you what the Torah Shulchan Aruch writes. The Torah Shulchan Aruch writes the meaning of the word. These words are the following: We live off the bank account. We're Yarshim. We inherited the massive treasure of our fathers and our mothers. We have a bank account that's billionaire. But you know, sometimes a moment could come after many generations of money being in the family, so to speak. And Tamus Chosovis. With the long protracted galus, the Schus Avos, the Torah writes, could be somewhat diminished and depleted. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah sent us the message. Even if it would be Chas V'Chalila time in history, that it would be Tamus Schus Avos, that the Schus Avos would be depleted. We should know. We don't have to worry. You know why? Because the Rabbanu Shlom is mevi goyel of nevi mizen and kinder. The Avos gave us everything. They gave us a schusim. They created the path. But mizen and kinder, we're children of the Eibishter. We should feel like bonim atim Hashem alekechem. We're children to Hashem. Once we're children to Hashem. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah formulated in the words of the first bracha, we should know, even if Chas V'Chalila would be a moment in time, nevertheless, Laman, because of his name being so inextricably bound with us, but it's not only that the Rebbeinu Shlom feels that he has to, Ba'ava. What is this word, ladies? Ba'ava. It shows us such an incredible level of what we're doing now. The Rebbeinu Shlom interacts with us, Ba'ava. He loves us. He wants to hear our tefillos. You know, Rav Meilech Biederman says the Rebbeinu Shlom loves nudniks. Right? We don't like nudniks. Oh, when a person calls us and we look on the phone and all of a sudden, boom, whoa. Put that on silent. You know, just send it somewhere in cyberspace. That person again making me crazy. The Rebbeinu Shlem loves nudniks. Why? Because if that nudnik happens to be your son or your daughter that you have unconditional love to, even though they're nudnik, you know you want to hear from them. And that's what we say, Ba'ava. And then we say, Melech, the Rebbeinu Shem is a Melech. He's an Oizer. If we need success, You know what he does? He helps us succeed. That's the word oizer. He is the ultimate helper. He's not only an ultimate helper. What happens? Help sometimes to be successful. We want to be successful. We want to see results. So we realize who we're standing in front of. We're standing in front of a melech, not only a melech, an oizer, a melech that wants to help us. But not only a melech that wants to help us succeed, a melech also is there, umayshia, when we're in trouble, loyaleinu, we're in a crisis, when we're in a moment of need, not only a need to succeed, a need to be extracted and extricated from a moment of challenge and crisis. That's the words that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah incorporated. We're standing in front of the Eibishter. We're not only asking him to help us during times of tranquility and times where everything is great and going well. We're asking the Rabban Shem, you are the one that can help us, Umayshia. You could save us. You could take away. And you know what? Even after you save us, you know what you could do? You could put up that protective shield, umagen, and you could guard us. That's all these words have such tremendous meaning and impact. The Rabban Shalom is an oizer. The Rabban Shalom is a magen. The Rabban Shalom is a Mashiach, and he's also a magen. He protects us. We don't even know how much he protects us, but he protects us. The Rav Meilech tells over a story of a person that comes to shul one day after Aleinu. He takes out some cake and schnapps and he makes l'chaim. And they said, "We know what happened? A yahrzeit?" So he says, "No." He said, "I want to tell you, yes, I came to shul. I came to shul, and literally one step away, a car made such a crazy turn, and literally it touched my nose almost. I'm drinking a l'chaim to thank Hashem." The next day, the next morning, Aleinu finishing Aleinu, and another yid takes out schnapps and a cake, and they made a joke, said, "Chaim, you also?" He says, no. He says, "Nothing, Baruch Hashem, no, that was not, and I what happened to me is not what happened to Label." So what happened? What happened to me is that no car came. How many times does Hashem protect us? And we don't even know. We don't even know that the Rabban Shem is a magen to us. But we have to say to recognize it. Rabban Shem, there's so much in our life. We don't even know. We have no clue. And maybe we'll never know. But the Rabban Shem, we recognize you're a magen. And then what do? We say magen Avram. Chazal tell us, the Gemara tells us. The Rabban Shem said, Hakel HaGodel HaGibor. The Rabban Shem says that I'm gonna make Avraham Avinu, I'm gonna make you prosperous and great. I'm gonna say in Shemoneh Esrei, Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. But you know, the Gemara says, you would think that the greatness of Avraham Avinu is he knows that he has a son that's gonna continue and perpetuate the great nation that Avraham Avinu built, and he's going to have a grandson. Are all the Avos equal in that respect? So the Gemara tells us, the Rabban Shem tells Avraham Avinu, you don't have to, the Heye Bracha, Avarcha v'agad l'shemecha, each of these words correspond to one of the Avos, the Heye Bracha, b'cha chosmin, in you, Avraham Avinu, I'm going to finish the break. It's not going to say Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogen Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov as we began the bracha. Only Mogen Avram. Why? Because Avram Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. We are told, the Rabban Shem says, that the Doiris are going to go along, and they're going to, Klal Yisrael is going to be in a bitter golus. You know what the Rabban Shem says? B'cha chosmin. Avram Avinu, the ultimate Tzchusim of Klal Yisrael will be in you. In you, and you who stand for the Midah of Chesed, the Midah of Chesed, B'cha Chosmin. What value does Chesed have? What value does being a good person have? What value caring about somebody else? What value having a listening ear to somebody? What value saying a good word? What value does a nice email, a nice text, an emoji with a smile? What does that mean? I'm thinking of you. Have a great day. I love you. If it's an appropriate message to send to somebody. Morgan Avram. Avram was ready to be moist and nefesh, even for who? V'anshei Sidoim royim v'chatoyim l'Hashem ma'oid. Avram Avinu felt an achrayus. Even for that, we're not Avram Avinu. We don't have to be busy with Anshei Sidoim. But we could be busy with the people around us. We want the Rabbanu Shalom to respond to be Mogen Avram, to protect the bastion of Chesed. Then we continue. The next bracha is the bracha of Tchias HaMeisim, Gvuris. That's the main focus. What reflects the greatest madrega of the Rabbeinu Shloim? That the Rabbeinu Shloim could be Mechaye So crucial is this bracha, which is called Gvurois. At the very beginning, look at your article, Siddurim. Gvurois, that the Rabbeinu Shloim is telling Avraham Avinu. Is right after Rabbeinu Shloim tells Avraham Avinu, we continue with Gvurois. To say the Rabbeinu Shlom is so powerful, he could be Mechaye Meisim. And I don't, again, once again, I don't have to translate the words, but I will tell you that in the bracha itself, where it builds up to the ultimate Gevurah of Hashem, the fact that the Rabbeinu Shlom constantly sustains life. And at the very beginning, it does mention Mechayim Meisim Barachamim Rabim, which is the reflection of the Rabban Shlom's Gevurois. But you know what? On a less of a extreme, the Rabban Shlom is a Samech Neiflim. You know what Samech Neiflim means? He supports those who are faltering, who are failing. You know what that means, ladies? It doesn't only mean financially. It doesn't only mean physically, even emotionally. How crippled are we in this era that we live in emotionally? People are emotional wrecks. People have such anxiety. People are so unsettled emotionally. Sometimes you can't even talk to them. So you know what you have in mind? To the Eibishter, Rabbanu Shlom, Yer Samech Neiflam. And especially this bracha becomes crucial when we understand that the only one could really be the shliach to send shluchim to be successful for us is only the Rabbanu Shlom. And that's why in this bracha, when we talk about the Rabbanu Shlom having gvura, having strength, he has the strength to support those that are failing physically, financially, emotionally, roifei cholim. He's a roifei cholim. He's a matir asurim. You know what a matir asurim means? On the simple level, he lets us get up in the morning. We feel we constricted. We could be crunched up in bed, and then we get up, and we could be erect. We could be straight. Our limbs could work. And then the rest of the bracha is also references to Tchias HaMeisim. And then when we say, you're a Baal Gevurois, you're the ultimate Baal Gevurois. Omidoy Melach, Melach Meimis Umchaya Umatzmiach Yeshua. I want to spend a moment on what these finishing words mean. A person should know, and it's a very, very big nechama. The Rabbeinu Shloim is Melech Meimis Umchaya. Sometimes, Lo Yaleinu, we go through such tragedy. We lose loved ones, whether they're old, and certainly when they're in middle of their the literally the best part of their life. We have to be mechazik ourselves. The Rabban Shem Yoram Mechayim Mesim. You're a Matzmiach Yeshua. You know what Matzmiach Yeshua means? An incredible understanding. Matzmiach Yeshua means like a plant, like a seed. The ones that have passed away, you're already like a seed. You're already planning and building that when there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, when there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, they're going to come back revived, so much more glorious than they even were when they passed away. They'll go through their whatever journey that they have to go to. But when we're saying the bracha of the Rabban Shlom Chaim Mason, which is one of the ikrim, one of the Yud Gimel ikrim of the Rambam, Ani Mamin b'Amun Shlomim b'Tchias HaMeisim, b'Eshayal HaRatzim b'Yaseh Baruch HaShemoy, the Rabban Shlom is a Chaim Mason. Does that bring the person back to you? No, it doesn't. But does it allow you to know that the Rabban Shlom is going to revive and resurrect? And no matter what it was, the people that might have been drowned, or the people might have been burnt, the people might have been mutilated, lo yaleinu, during the horrible crises of Klal Yisrael. And what about now, in the last more than a year ago? And when we say the bracha, the Rabban Shlom is able to put together that glorious person, put back the person's neshama. And that's what we're saying. That's the Gevurah of Hashem. That's what this bracha incorporates. Such a deep-rooted emunah. Rav Avigdor Miller used to say that when a person goes into a shiva, the biggest nechama that should happen when we walk out is to be bigger maminim in tchias hameisim. The person is away. He's gone. She's gone. There's nothing that we could do. You know, says Rav Avigdor Miller, you know what that time is now to do? Be mechazik yourself in the belief of Tchias HaMeisim. The person, yes, it's heartbreaking. We miss. We are so feeling forlorn without lo yaleinu loved ones that disappear from our lives. But at the same time, we're ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. And when we say the bracha, that's what we're saying. We're declaring and we're uttering. Rabbi Nishon, we believe that you are a Mechayim Meisim. No matter how the person and where the person, it's, you know what it is? It's like when we place a person in the ground, it's like placing a seed that germinates in the ground and all of a sudden sprouts. That's what's happening to the neshama. That's the bracha that we're making every single day. We're being mechazik ourselves to say, Ribbono shel Olam, you are in charge and you created a world and you created human beings that you can allow them to pass from this world. And the moment they pass, you're a Matzmiach Yeshua, the process of bringing them back more glorious and more great than they were before is happening in front of our eyes, even though we don't see it. V'nemonato, you're a nemon. What is the greatest accomplishment in life? When a person could live a life and you could be trustworthy, you could be counted on. A child that has the loving parents, they believe in their parents, they trust the parents. They know that it's pouring rain and they got to be picked up. They have no doubt that mom or dad, Abba, Ima are coming to pick them up. Why? Because they trust you implicitly. What is the greatest title? Rabban shel Kol Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chol Beisi Nemanu. That's what the Torah could not find, an appellation that could adequately be bestowed and crowned upon Moshe Rabbeinu. What did the Torah HaKadosh, what did Hashem himself, write about Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is, what's the greatness, what's the crowning achievement of Moshe Rabbeinu? B'chol beisi nemonu. I could trust him. I could count on him. I know that he's going to bring covet for me. I know that he's going to do whatever it takes to make me glorified. We trust you. We trust you in our lives, and we trust you after our lives. And that's the second bracha, M'chaim Esim. And then we go into the third bracha, understanding that the Rabban Shalom is a Kaddish. What does the word Kaddish mean? Muvdol u'mufresh. The Rabban Shalom is beyond, the Rabban Shalom is omnipotent. The Rabban Shalom is beyond our grasp of understanding who he is. And that's why the third bracha, which completes the first section of Shemayin Esrei, which completes the section of Avos, is now concluded. And when the title, if you look into your art scroll Siddurim, for this is Kedushas Hashem, you're proclaiming that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is beyond our ability to fathom who he is. He's our Kel HaKadosh. Now comes the first bracha of the middle section. The first bracha of the middle section will start, and I will take questions in about 3 or 4 minutes, ladies. I'm going to try to cover one or two more brachas now. The next, originally it was 12 brachas, and then they added the bracha of La Malshinim, and this is the first of the middle section. The first thing that we have to know is how much do we have to be endowed with wisdom, with understanding? And over here, we're going to talk about this more next week. There are brachas that we have that we ask for das, where we ask for tshuva, where we ask for forgiveness, where we ask for refuas, where we ask for financial help. And you know what? There are places that you can be mispal in refuah. You have a whole yehi ratzayin. Shetish l'fuish l'mina shemayim fuas ha'nefesh. And you mispal the bracha in refuahenu. There's a whole section in which we add in, because Chazal tell us, and we're going to discuss next week, a person can ask for certain needs before you complete every bracha. And the Gemara itself says, the Gemara gives an example of that as atachoining. You have somebody that needs a little help. So instead of eating yourself up alive, that sometimes they do such silly and foolish things. Sometimes people that are close to you just don't think. They're just not smart about things, even though they could be have the kishroinus. They have the capacity, but they just don't do things that are smart. This is the bracha. Rabban Shalom endow this and this child, this and this person with a little chachma. And there are different nuances in depending on Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz of what this means. Bina, Deya, Haskel. What are these nuances are? What are they? One is just simple knowledge. One is understanding. Bina, Chazal always says, being maven dov mitech dover, extrapolating. Understanding, somebody tells you something, and you're able to understand something from that statement. You're able to understand the deeper message. You're able to understand what really follows from this revelation and this understanding. That's Bina. Haskel means that you have a certain intelligence, seichel, seichel, say seichel. So this is the time, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I need the extra seichel, I need the extra understanding, I need the extra siyata d'shmaya to be able to have wisdom. Fill me with wisdom. You are the mocker of wisdom, and the place to be mispalel is, as we're going to see, we're going to explain this a little bit more next week, is at a very specific place in all these middle brachas. They cannot be these tefillos that you might need cannot be added anywhere, which we'll, again, we're going to speak about Leon, the next time we have this class. But I want to talk about one more bracha, and then we will take questions. And that bracha is Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirasecha. Notice there are two brachas, ladies, that introduce Avinu, our father. We're asking the Rabbanu Shalom Tata, you know that we want to come close to you. What does repenting mean? Repenting means becoming and building and deepening and broadening and making our relationship, making our connection with the Eibishter as profound and comprehensive and expansive as possible. So when we turn to the Eibishter, we say, Rabbanu Shalom, we're your child. Help us. We want the relationship. We want to be able to be chayzer eslecha. We want to come. We want to be able to be, we want to give you nachas. We want to be able for you to know how much we love you, how much we recognize the beneficence and the goodness that you give to us. This, so it's endless. And if we could understand better, to be more cognizant of the building blocks of the relationship, Rabbanu Shalom, allow us to do it. Hashiveinu before anything, Hashiveinu Avinu. Even before Karveinu Malkeinu, the first thing is Avinu. The first step of getting close to Hashem is the asking, but we end the bracha, ladies, and this is incredible insight. Baruch Ata Hashem HaRoisa B'Seshuva. The Rabbanu Shalom again tells us how much he loves us. HaRoisa. The Rabbanu Shalom desires. Why does he desire? The Rabbanu Shalom is Malachim. The Rabbanu Shalom is a whole world, a heavenly, a heavenly celestial world of angels. Srafim v'yafanim v'chayis ha-kodesh. He needs us. But he's a Reitzer b'seshuva because he's an Avinu. Oy, when you have a parent that the relationship with a child was a little rocky, or a relationship with a child could certainly, you know, afford a little bit of improvement. No, ladies, mothers, Haroitze, a child that wants to say, you know what? I love you. I want to do better. Whoa. The Rebbeinu says, okay, I'm there to help you. I'm there. Open door. The warmest. No reminding of the past. Let's begin. Let's begin a new page. Daf Chadash. Haroitze b'seshuva. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't only hamakabel tshuva. That's what it could have said in the bracha. Bracha Hashem hamakabel tshuva seinu. No. Haroitze. Could there be a bigger surge? Could there be a warmer response that motivates us, that gives us the passion to want to do better? All right, so Mr. Shuf. Ladies, I'm opening up the you know, the Zoom to any questions on anything that we spoke about. If
so no one has if you have a particular bakasha that has to do with one of the brachas, where is the best time to insert it?
Okay, so the best place to insert it is that this is the clown. Every bracha has to have Mayein Chasima Samach L'Chasima. The way that Chazal insert, the way Chazal structured brachas of Shemayin Esrei, is that the bracha, for instance, it starts up with Atachonin Ledum Das, Mulamid Lenish Bina, and then says Chonenu Miyitcha. And then you have the Chasima. The place that you add in any bakosha that is appropriate for a certain bracha is before the Meyein Achasima. The Meyein Achasima, the similar way that the bracha ends, if you notice, The bracha ends Baruch Atah Hashem Chayin Adas. The first few words, the last words that come before the bracha is Chaneinu Me'itcha Dea Bina V'Haskel. Baruch Atah Hashem Chayin Adas. Chaneinu Me'itcha Dea Bina V'Haskel is called Me'ein Achasima, because before you actually finish the bracha, you have to sort of summarize what the essence of the bracha is. That cannot have an interruption. That cannot have a hefsek. So the proper time, if somebody is being mevakish from Hashem, das, seichel, whether it's on your own behalf or on behalf of somebody that's near and dear to you, the place would be before Chaneinu Me'itcha. Now, next week, we're going to discuss exactly how that's done. Verbalize, to think in your mind. That's a subject of discussion which we could start discussing at the next class, Bez Hashem. But the place to add in any, let me give you an example, a second illustration, and then you'll understand it clearly. Let's look at the bracha that we actually add something. It's much more universal about Shetishlach Refuah Shleim Min HaShemayim. Where do you add that in? Refeinu Hashem V'nei Refei, Hayshenu Devasheya, Ki Siyoseinu Ata, V'al Refuah Shleim Chomak Yiseinu. So Ki Kel Melech Neman Refei, Neman V'Rachman Ata, that's when we say the Yehi Ratzon. Because you can't say the Yehi Ratzon after that. You can't say it right prior, Baruch Atah Hashem, Refei Chol L'Am Yisrael, because then it wouldn't be Me'ein Achasima, Samacha Chasima. That's why specifically that Yehi Ratzayin, which you're adding in for Chaylim, has to be done before Ki Kel Nema Melech Roifei Neman Rachman Ata, because it always has to follow with that pattern. So that is the answer to your question. It has to be done before you begin the summary of the Chasima.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, ladies, we'll wish you a good davach, and we should be zeicha to that our tefillas are niskabel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.